Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert here in the beautiful high desert. Red, blue, black, silver, making sweet sounds on the radio, and another storm on the way. Sometimes people come out here and look around at the substandard housing and the miles of vacant retail buildings and the enormous, hideous Walmart and the inexplicable number of cars. A lot of cars from Arizona and Texas pumping out great clouds of noxious smoke while puttering down the fast lane at 25 miles per hour. And the people say, "What's so beautiful about that?" And I say, "Well, nothing. Nothing at all. It's hideous. It's an outrage. It's gruesome." And then, as I'm walking away, almost running, really, sometimes they catch up and ask, "So where's the beautiful part? Where is the beautiful part, anyway?" Well, you can start by walking about a mile past the last parking lot or dirt road or residential car parts dump or informal halfway house or accidental pit bull breeding farm, and keep going in the direction of the difficult terrain. The hills and the mountains and the great boulders, not the hills covered in radio transmission towers. Radio relay towers lead me to my baby. Head toward the ones with nothing up there at all, nothing made by the hands of men. Nothing up there but more boulders, more spiky yucca trees that slash your arms. Junipers and Joshua trees up to the craggy peak where the stately pinyons stand proud. Keep going that way. When you can no longer hear the roar of the highway, the constant sirens, the big rigs rumbling down the hairpin curves at 65 miles per hour, the approximately 25,000 constantly barking dogs in every small town, etc., then go another mile or so. Get a mountain between you and it. The thing. The horror, the vast wasteland of cracked stucco and plastic letters and the medicated masses slouched before the video screen. The only God they know. And that God is an evil God, a thing of malice. It speaks lies through the universal global telecommunications consciousness, and it is insane. A jabbering cacophony, an electronic nerve agent where the only topics are shopping, slaughter, and more shopping. And did you see this year's exciting new advertisements? You just escaped all that. Now you might even be able to hear yourself think. or better yet, hear yourself not think. Because your attention has been charmed away by the chirping birds, the gamble's quail muttering as they scurry up the dry wash. The late winter breeze whispering through the creosote branches and desert willows, even the sand is beautiful. The decomposed granite sand with flecks of quartz and gold catching the sunbeams before you. Keep going. Until the sun sets and the ravens are gathering everybody for the sundown social and the coyotes are howling and gusty winds are coming up the slope. Notice how you feel. How alive. The high desert is an up-close feast for the senses. You can smell the sage and the juniper. Hear the rock crunching beneath your feet. Taste the stick of Mormon tea hanging out of your mouth like a fancy cigarette. And when the weather is cool, as it often is this time of year, the warmth of the sun is welcome, appreciated. You bask in it like a lizard on a rock. But eventually, you've gotta come down the mountain, apparently, back to the real world, as they say, meaning back to the entirely artificial world of unnecessary electronic commerce and annoyances that monitor your every move, your every habit, your every behavior. Also, Jeff Bezos can earn another $8 million per hour. Back to late notices and updates to your customer experience. Back to the six empty houses around you. Because the pandemic real estate boom, fueled by low-interest speculator money and short-term holiday rentals, has bottomed out. And now it turns out all your neighbors moved to Arizona for nothing. Or maybe they like Drought Valley Estates just fine. I mean, they can reach out the window of their already falling apart 2018 model home and borrow the toothpaste from the neighbor's bathroom. Washed out, cracked stucco beige outside, washed out gray and off-white everything inside. You can quit worrying about going to church because, buddy, you're in hell already. But you're building equity. Maybe. Back in 2018, somehow a half dozen years ago, I did a show at the Palm Springs Art Museum, a live episode, and because there was an Andy Warhol exhibit that had just opened, I dug up some stories about Warhol in the West. Especially the making of the extremely vulgar and ridiculous and more entertaining than you'd expect Lonesome Cowboys at an old Western movie ranch outside of Tucson. A lot of the Warhol prints on display were from his Endangered Species series. In the 1980s, Warhol loved nature and solitude in moderation. He owned land outside Aspen, Colorado that he apparently only used for such purposes when he was around. And he owned the beautiful old compound at the tip of Long Island, 20 acres of the rare Montauk moorlands. A rustic 1930s fishing camp settlement on the seashore, surrounded by protected wetlands and cliffs and open space. The Rolling Stones called it Memory Motel on the song of that same name. It's a raw landscape up there on the tip of Long Island with 30-foot bluffs and a rocky shoreline below, trees gnarled by the wind. A place that has often been described as extreme and a draw for, quote, the souls of artists, writers, and musicians who seek the edge. Can you tell that quote came from a New York Times feature? This wild seashore was Andy Warhol's favorite place, and he kept it like it was. This is what he said about it. Quote, I think having land and not ruining it is the most beautiful art that anybody could ever want to own. He said nearly the same thing to an Aspen Times reporter in 1981. Land is the best art. And that really stuck with me, what Warhol said about the greatest art. Having ownership of wild land and not doing anything to it. Leave it like it was. Keep it like it is. Andy Warhol was deeply religious, a Byzantine Catholic, like generations of his Ruthenian Slovak ancestors before him. And he looked at the wonders and beauty of creation that he was blessed enough to have stewardship over. And he kept it like it was.
Desert Oracle Radio.
If you're interested in what's going on with your public lands in the desert, especially the Mojave and the Great Basin, but really all of them, which include the mountains, then make sure you follow Patrick Donnelly from the Center for Biological Diversity. His social media accounts on the usual bad, but that's all we got channels, and especially his email newsletter, Sage and Sand. I'll link to both of those on the Desert Oracle radio blog, because we never stopped blogging at Desert Oracle. It was from Patrick Donnelly that I learned about this dingbat outrage from the Lincoln County, Nevada commissioner. What's this guy's name? Vermin Bigley? No. Varlin Higley, the guy who hates pinyon and juniper woodlands, and is apparently the local stooge for the nation of Denmark and some shady shell company wanting to destroy these wild high desert and mountain woodlands and turn the resulting mush into biofuel to send to Denmark, which really sounds like the kind of palm oil clear cutting that America usually does to poorer nations. Patrick Donnelly, welcome to Desert Oracle Radio. Please tell us what's going on here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ken, and I'm glad you're shining a light on this issue. You know, across the deserts, but especially the Great Basin Desert, cutting down pinyon juniper woodlands has been kind of a staple of land management for many decades, if not centuries. There's really been a war on pinyon juniper woodlands. And, you know, it dates back to the colonization of the West by Europeans, and they wanted to maximize the amount of forage available for their cattle. And so it turned out that cutting down all those trees would then create more grass and feed for cattle. And so there's really been this long-term project of exterminating pinyon juniper woodlands across the Great Basin. But there's always been this question of, well, what do you do with the slash that's left over? And sometimes they leave it in place. Sometimes they masticate it, you know, with these huge masticators that turns it into mulch, basically. But there's certainly never been an economic benefit to it until now. Some starry-eyed dreamers there in Lincoln County think they've stumbled upon a economic benefit for the pinyon juniper trees that they want to cut down in the form of biofuels and converting these rich Great Basin forests into biofuels for container ships out of the Port of Long Beach. As I said, there's always been people cutting down pinyon and juniper, and, you know, my organization of others have been raising the alarm about that and fighting that for many years. But I think this is an extremely concerning development because now there could be an economic imperative for more pinyon juniper deforestation. And so perhaps earlier the impetus was to create more forage for cows or to create fuel breaks or other justifications that agencies give. But now there may be this, hey, we're going to beat climate change by cutting down all the pinyon and juniper forests, this new impetus for doing so. And so this is a really concerning development that we are pushing back on.
That is incredible. And that LA Times story from 5-6 days ago, I'll link it up, was good for getting the news on the national or Western national radar, I guess, but I also thought it was kind of insane. You know, the headline, let's see here, "Love them or loathe them, pinyon juniper woodlands are a growing biofuel battleground." What the hell is that? We're doing both sides now on hating forested mountains and high desert wilderness and public land?
That's a good observation, because that really is part of the dialogue here. It's not just, oh, we need to cut down some pinyon juniper to create feed for cattle. Like, there is a vilification of pinyon and juniper. They even have the completely scientifically incorrect thing of calling them invasive, like invasive pinyon and juniper are taking over our sagebrush steppe. And A, it's just not true, but B, it really does involve this kind of vilification of the pinyon and juniper trees, that they're this negative influence taking over and must be beaten back. You know, there's almost a moral element to it.
And that's bizarre. I mean, that's the iconic American landscape. That's the Western Vista vision of John Ford and Clint Eastwood. That's what most of Angeles National Forest is. Beloved and needed by millions. That's what the mountains look like here in Joshua Tree, the Mojave National Preserve, and the Desert National Wildlife Refuge. The latter of which is in Lincoln County, Nevada, right? Part of it.
Yes, this is to the east of there. This is the area where this project is proposed. But Lincoln County has a huge amount of pinyon juniper woodlands all across the county. Really, all of eastern Nevada is kind of a pinyon juniper empire. And of course, that's the epicenter of pinyon juniper removal. The classic technique for killing pinyon juniper forests is with a technique called chaining, where two bulldozers will drag between them an anchor chain, like a heavy ship anchor chain, drag between two bulldozers, uprooting pinyon and juniper trees as they go. This technique is really horrifying to see it in action. But the chain is actually called the Ely chain, because, you know, this technique was invented there in Ely, Nevada.
And so, oh, Lord.
And there's a long history of these folks, you know, killing off pinyon juniper woodlands and taking great pride in it.
And when you are, not you, but when people are dragging massive ship chains and uprooting and destroying the forest, it's also all the wildlife there as well, right? The badgers that are burrowed there, the bobcats. What else is up there?
Well, sure. I mean, pinyon juniper woodlands are the kind of mid-elevation ecosystem of the Great Basin. And so, you know, if you're above 5,000-6,000 feet, you're probably going to be in some pinyon and juniper for up till, you know, 8,000 or 9,000 feet. And so lots of wildlife rely on pinyon juniper woodlands. It's been estimated there's 150 vertebrate species and 450 plant species that occupy pinyon juniper woodlands. And so that's going to include stuff like we all love, elk and deer, you know, yeah, badgers for sure, but also, you know, rare plants, shrubs, kind of the whole panoply of desert wildlife and desert plants, you know, thrive within a pinyon juniper woodland.
The Desert Oracle book has a big chapter in the middle that's set in the pinyon juniper wildlands of Lincoln County, specifically the Mount Irish Wilderness, one of my favorite places anywhere. And in the book, that's where I'm out hunting petroglyphs of the mysterious Piranagat Man with George Knapp and Matt Adams from KLAS-TV in Las Vegas. Highway 93, east from Crystal Springs, I know a lot of our listeners have been out there. That's one of the most beautiful drives in America. You know, I always take the long way going into Utah. And you and I have talked before about the Desert National Wildlife Refuge. So this is very much in our program's range of interest. And one of the things that kind of stuns me with this scheme is it's called a benefit for the carbon situation. Isn't the best carbon storage the absolutely free and natural carbon storage of our forests and woodlands?
Boy, that does make a lot of sense, doesn't it? Forests are carbon sequestration powerhouses. We've been making that argument. You know, I think they're playing a little shell game with carbon here, where you cut down forest, you claim it's biofuels, and you swap it out for petroleum products being used by the container ships. And so you can say you're saving the climate. And as long as you ignore the fact that you're destroying a native forest, then that, you know, comes out looking good on the balance sheet. And again, I think it gets back to this: not only are pinyon and juniper trees vilified, but their identity as a forest is denied. Like, they are not recognized as a forest.
That's, you know, insane.
It is. It's crazy. And especially like for us in the desert, I mean, the pinyon juniper woodland, that's our forest.
That's our forest. Yeah.
Right. And yet the people who put forward these projects deny that it's a forest. They claim it has low biodiversity. They claim it's just these encroaching shrub-like trees, you know, and kind of denigrate its value. And so, yeah, it's easy then. You just, you know, plow it all up and turn it into container ship fuel, and nothing's lost in that kind of calculus, which really ignores the incredible value that these systems have, not just for biodiversity, but also for climate.
And this is also the landscape that certainly one of our favorite books, Desert Solitaire by Edward Abbey, takes place in.
Yeah, and I've been talking a lot about pinyon juniper removal in the Great Basin, but it's also a project that's been embarked upon extensively on the Colorado Plateau in Utah, very extensively. So certainly Abbey's country is not immune from the effects of chaining and deforestation.
So the ancient juniper that he wants to write a whole book about can end up in the tank of a ship that's taking dildos from China to Los Angeles, I guess.
Almost poetic, isn't it?
This is also the backyard of Las Vegas. Millions of people. It's an absolute wonderland of quiet, majestic wilderness that's, what, 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours from the suburbs. And I've always figured you got to use it or lose it with public lands. What's a good way for people who already love the basin and range environment to get to know this area that this foreign project wants to destroy?
Well, that is one of the great ironies here. Lincoln County has been billing itself as an outdoor tourism destination. Certainly, you know, with Basin and Range National Monument there and the Mount Irish petroglyph area, like you described, but also like they've developed mountain biking trails in the area of Caliente, which is the city, the small town where this project would be located. So it's sort of ironic that they're developing mountain biking trails that are going to go through a deforested wasteland. It seems kind of counterintuitive. But yeah, going out to Caliente is, you know, it's a great place to visit public lands. Like I said, there's mountain biking trails, great hiking, a lot of historic mining artifacts and old mines to poke around in. And it's a beautiful place to explore public lands. And it's a little higher elevation, so you can do it. It's a little cooler in the warmer months.
Yeah, you can go up there when it's 115 on the strip and find a nice place to do dispersed camping. I've certainly done that in summertime. And I've used the Lincoln County Tourism website for many years to find interesting places to poke around up there from the Paranagat Valley on up. And I'm wondering what those people that you mentioned, the people who are promoting Lincoln County as an outdoor destination for people in Vegas and beyond, what do they think about clear-cutting mountainsides for some dicey European ethanol factory?
Well, you know, this is still just a proposal. They basically have an MOU with the Danish government, but they certainly don't have permits to cut down all those trees. There's whole permitting processes that they're going to have to go through with the Bureau of Land Management before they can start clear-cutting forests for container ship fuel. And so there will be public participation opportunities during those permitting processes where, you know, certainly local people, but also people who care about the desert, like your listeners, will be able to weigh in as to whether or not this is a good use of our public lands and our public forests. So, you know, stay tuned for that. But this is still just an idea in the economic development officer's eye and not necessarily something that's going to be executed very soon.
Well, that's a relief a little bit. And you will tell us, as hopefully it doesn't progress at all, but if it does progress, you'll tell us who to bug about it and what lawsuits the Center for Biological Diversity is filing when, if, hopefully not when, it gets to that point.
Yeah, we will keep the world posted about that. This is certainly something we are glad is capturing the attention of people. You know, we already have some litigation going against a Pinyon Juniper deforestation project not far up the road from Lincoln County in White Pine County in Spring Valley. And so we have litigation against one of those projects there. It's not affiliated with this biofuels debacle, but, you know, we are in court trying to stop clear cutting of Pinyon Juniper forests. It's really a top priority for our organization.
Patrick Donnelly, Great Basin Director for the Center for Biological Diversity. It's always good to talk with you, and thanks for doing this work for the Wild Southwest.
Yeah, glad to be here with you. Thanks.
And that's Desert Oracle Radio for tonight. Thank you for listening. Good night from the Voice of the Desert.